This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go straight into the second hour of Russ Dizar. Now, Russ, here's the thing. To get the average Christian, I would hope that we're dealing with, and I would say this, knowing my radio audience over 15 years and the progression, the growth, they get it. But still, the ominous nature of the enemy and the unmasking of the facade that he puts out there seems to be something that only the Holy Spirit can give through your teaching and teaching of others that have been given insight into this. Because again, we're talking about all hell being poured forth on the earth. And by the way, in the book of Revelation, I was reading it before we went on the air, for those, you know, Jesus is warning the church that he's going to cast them. That means literally thrust them or pour them into the tribulation if they don't repent. So let's talk about the spiritual authority. Let's say you've got a group of people. They believe that, and what I want you to do, if you wouldn't mind, is take the last hour and just take us through your teaching on spiritual authority. Because again, this is critical. Everybody who thinks they got it, they need to know not only why they have it, but that they have it. Because the first time they're challenged by an archon or someone that's supernaturally wicked, they cannot rely on their own strength. It's not about the person. It's about their Savior. Please, take it from there.
Absolutely. I even found out that it's not about how loud you yell at them, too.
Yeah.
25 years ago, when a demonic presence, you know, manifests, that means literally takes over human being, looks through their eyes, and begins to speak to you. It's bizarre. With it, just like with believers around me, when they're like filled with the Spirit, you can feel the presence of God is a familiar thing to me. But now, dealing with them over these years, presence is now, I want to say, familiar in the sense of I've seen it, felt it, heard from it. And it's just like biblical revelation shows. So when the Spirit of God selectively gave us all the content of the New Testament, let alone the Old, giving, you know, precursors to the New, we see this incredible, the whole thing's about a battle. Steve, it began as a battle in the heavenlies. It came to the human race as a battle, and we stupidly, you know, dropped the Word of God, which would have preserved everything. One scripture verse God gave, if you want to say it a verse, one simple level of a scripture verse God said, don't, or, you know, in dying you will die. And yet we chucked it, opened the door, okay, that we're on this side of the fall. We understand the pain, the blood. Death is here. A death code is in our genes. Where did it come from? The wages of sin is death. Hebrews 2, there's another sense about Satan having a power over death until Jesus came and took it away. So the cross is the foundation. Christ is called the last Adam. He's not only God fully, but he's man fully. He represents us in his life. Never sinned, never breached, never broke the scripture, went to the cross, and you know what? Death had no right, Satan had no right, there was no right for this. And so in the slaughter and killing of the Son of God, who became my and your and everyone's sin bearer, he didn't die as a polite thing, as a romantic idea, as just a sense of heroic for whoever. He didn't die for himself. What occurred there goes backward and forward and into eternity. What happened on the old rugged cross wields a power that can bring a transformation, the offer of indestructible immortality. There is nothing in any spiritual alternative system that comes close to what is really offered by God in Christ, which includes when we accept him as Savior, Lord, God. What happens? It's not just a creed. We believe in the person who wants to come and dwell in our life, give us the gift of the, and this is different from New Agers, the uncreated eternal Spirit of God comes in. We are born from above. We are, our human spirit is made alive instantly to God. We are connected. Everything that Christ was, is, does, his righteousness is applied to us. His power, a new nature, is planted within us. The sin code nature is broken. Satan's rights over us are snapped. We are given the Spirit of God, who is considered the seal or mark, guaranteeing what's to come. So I'm not worried about heaven. I know I'm going. I'm not worried about my destiny. I know joyfully where that's happening. What's occurring now, though, is we've been thrust out into the world that is still a battlefield. And Jesus said, I have given you, this is Luke 10, tremendous chapter. He begins it by saying, pray the Lord of the harvest to send more workers because the field is white. I mean, the world is open. And so we're to pray for the laborers. But here's what the laborers did. When Jesus trained the 72, they went out and preached basically the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, what Jesus did in Mark 1. The Savior's here, a new reign is here, a basileia, a new kingdom is breaking in. It's the ultimate kingdom that when Jesus comes will end all war, all crime, all rape, all disease, the new heaven, new earth, take care of all the environment. All those counterfeit ideas in the new age are really found as realities in Christ. With authority being given to us for a reason. Here's why I say again, most Christians don't know this. That should be early teaching for new, brand new disciples. Jesus said, I've given you an authority to trample, now you know the figures of speech there, snakes and scorpions, the idea of the demonic realm. Then Jesus says to Nike, to overcome, it's a Greek word used in the wrestling games and warfare and so forth, to win a decisive victory, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. So what needs to happen is millions of believers who don't know any of this need to go back into this simple, revelation that Jesus referred to, saying, I have given you authority. Why, Steve, why are so many Christians afraid of the demonic? We in this little city that I lived in Akron, when we had our offices in the Akron area, we had 50 other churches send us demonized people or multiples that were, horrific cases.
Right. They wanted Russ to deal with it, but they didn't want to deal with it because they get their hands dirty. Or the real truth is that basically they were scared.
You're right. There's the bottom line. And it is weird. I will say, I'll be honest with you, it's like when we do training things and tell people, I used to say that when we do a local, one of our training courses, one we called Confronting the Powers, we had 35 people enrolled at a large church and they were all coming in, and they were paying a price to take the course. It was about 16 weeks, and this is, what I'm sharing now is part of that concept of that course, in which probably 10 or 15 of them were out of there within the first 3 weeks. Because one thing is, I know one thing for sure by my experience in discipleship training and whatever in my own life. Satan does not want believers to know their inheritance in Christ, their authority, what their weaponry is. So half of the believer's concept is grace and mercy, salvation, healing, helping people, feeding them, putting tennis shoes on their feet if they need them. The other half is this warfare concept, without which we literally, and I'm going to say this, and I know that some Christians might even get bugged at first, the body of Christ, pastors included, are going to aid and abet the ramping up of the dark side by not teaching the full counsel of God when it comes to warfare. The normal concept, it is not an extra normal thing, it is the normal thing. Look at the early disciples. Before they could even come to Pentecost, Jesus is sitting there eating with them. Satan's already plotting, and Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has just asked to sift, in the Greek it's plural, all you guys, to sift all you guys as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith, now notice the attack is on the faith issue. We can't go any further than our faith. We can't do any more than our faith. So he's coming to attack faith. And obviously they were attacked left and right. Peter's out there filled with anxiety and all the stuff that he's going through. I've seen this so many times in believers coming in. I mean, they're coming in with anxiety and antsiness, and they're bugged and they're cussing and they're wondering what's going on and all these involuntary thoughts and ideas, and they're being defeated by spiritual, you know, warfare, those arrows coming in. They're being inundated, and they don't know what to do. If they understand authority, Steve, this is the cannons. We're not unleashing the cannons. I've learned this. When it comes to a powerful demon in a person, and I say, the Lord Jesus will rebuke you, and I'm commanding you, ordering you in Jesus' name, stop it. Steve, they respond. They begrudgingly do it, but they do. When they've tried to use a physical body to come and attack me, in the name of Jesus, stop right now. You will not use the body. And commanding them what they can and cannot do is the issue. Because this is what we find in Luke chapter 10. The disciples came back because they've never seen this. They were rejoicing. Hey, even the demons submit to us in your name.
Right. You know, Russ, one of the things, too, I've got to tell you that came as a wonderful revelation, I believe, from the heart of God. People will pray the Lord's Prayer, and they, number one, don't understand what His kingdom is, and they don't understand what His coming kingdom is. But Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, that means the kingdom of God has come to you this day. So I'm telling people, and I've taught this all my Christian life, that when you're saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, are you willing to be used by God to bring in the kingdom? Do you follow where I'm going with that?
Exactly.
Mouthing exactly. Words that have no meaning, and then expecting people to believe half-hearted presentations of a misrepresented gospel does not set the captives free.
No, and especially nowadays. That's why what's happening now is like me. In the 60s, now look at me. I was not raised in a church. I was raised as a hunky. I went to the Creation Club every week with my dad and my grandpa. By the end of the 60s, I'm already into every occult thing that I can get into, through the music side, through the drug side, through books given to me, through friends taking me places, until I got into martial arts stuff and in a really spiritual school that it did kind of discipline me, because I feared this guy who was a master, but they were also training us Golden Buddha meditation, how to become passive, sit in the temple, open yourself up, wait for these beings. He called them ascended masters, these ancient ones that would teach us knowledge, literally come to us and begin to speak, and it would be a great privilege, he taught us, if they would come into us and speak through us to the rest of the crowd. Now, this is back in 1970. Now, I do thank the Lord that I didn't, though I sat there in that temple, though I meditated, though I knew what it was to leave the body and all that kind of stuff, I never had that level of engagement or channeling, you know, experience, because I got saved within 2 or 3 weeks after that stuff began to occur. I knew those powers. I knew they were real. I was trying to learn how to dimensional shift and every kind of thing. It was eclectic spiritual principles and things that we thought were neat and cool and all this kind of stuff. But what we didn't know and could not perceive was what's behind the mask of this stuff. Where is it coming from? Where is it leading us? All that spirituality. No matter how many hours of meditation I did and tried, you know, leaving them, all that stuff, it never led me to encounter God. In a night when there was a massive party and drugs and everything else and all the spirituality I have, there I was. And a man came into the room, someone yelled his name. As a matter of fact, his name was Steve. He came into the apartment and immediately began to tell each person about Christ. Steve, everybody in that place was shocked. They began to run. They began to try to hand me their marijuana joints and run. Three of them ran into the bathroom, locked me out because I was running too. Here I am, a big guy fighting in bars, you know, into spiritual stuff, thinking that I'm a spiritual being, you know, growing and having powers and whatever. And I'm running from this guy. I hide on the back porch. I literally did. I hid on the back porch, laughing, thinking, oh, he's getting to the other guys, until the door swung open. And then when this man walked out and looked at me, I knew who he was. He used to be one of the partiers. And I couldn't even look at him, Steve. I could not even look, because emanating from his life was another presence, another power. It was clean. Looking at his eyes, it was like I just couldn't do it. The only thing I could do was jump off that deck. It was too far down, and I looked at the ground. I even said to myself, why am I acting like this? You know, I'll go over there and shove him off the deck. That's my mentality. But I was subdued. I don't know all that he said. I said, Steve, how you doing? He began to tell me what we're talking about now. Jesus, the real Christ. Russ, he loves you. And he began to tell me all about Jesus. It was a blur to me because I finally just said, man, I got to get out of here. I got in my car, left my apartment, went home. I couldn't get away from that presence. I fought for hours in my bed. And I kept saying, God, get out of my head. What's going on here? What's happening? You know, I didn't know Bible verses, except that they said this Savior, this Jesus that actually died, not a phantom consciousness that we were taught. The real Christ died for you, Russ. He loves you, Russ. He can literally come into your life. And I finally roll out of my bed, Steve, and I just said, Jesus, I don't know everything about you, but I want you, and I want your power and come into my life. And all I can tell you is when that occurred, I later read scripture to understand what occurred, but God's love, a total cleansing. I knew instantly I had what that guy Steve had. And I literally went looking for him the next day, because for hours that night, all I could do, every time I closed my eyes, all I can do is see myself running to everybody telling them, Jesus Christ, he is really real. He really loves us. It's all true. He brings us back into relationship with God. It's all taken care of there. And you know what else? Everything on the demonic side seemed to like back away. And I can remember even some battle there, right when I got saved, as if I gave room to the other side and they were saying, hey, we want you back. All I knew was Jesus protected me, guarded me. I didn't know my authority yet. I didn't know any of these things yet. I just knew him, and I knew his presence and power in my life. I drove to Kmart the next day because I didn't know where to go to buy a Bible, and on my own started to try to read. And when all this occurred, and in the development now since that time, all I know is this. The authority was given, and what Christians need to learn is appropriation, like it says in Romans 6. When it talks about how the sin code has been broken, and that we've not only been forgiven, but the power of the code of sin is broken, and we should count ourselves dead to sin, because we are, and alive to God, because we are. So the concept of counting it true, because it is that idea of appropriation. That's simply what I've done over the years to teach Luke 10 on this issue of authority. And I don't have, and I tell everybody this whole time, when in small group meetings, church, I don't have any more authority, because everything's, man, you cast out demons, you know, all this stuff. No, I have no more authority than any Christian. I may have used it, you know, 1,000 times more, and I may have seen a lot of engagement, but every believer has an authority that's directly given by Jesus Christ that, when used, tramples the dark side, exposes the masquerading. I mean, spirit guides were in people we commanded, show what you really are. Boom. They do. In a remote viewer, when we commanded an energy on them to make itself known, it said its name was Argon. Finally we commanded, you know, tell this person what you're really going to do. And Steve, this being screeched out to take them to blankety blank hell. Then they wanted it out of them. We had a person come in with an ancestral animal or bear spirit that he handed down. Oh, this is a bear. She's going to church. This is for my family. This is part of our ancestry. And your other guy here is telling me that it's a demonic presence, and I don't believe that. It's an ancestral spirit, an animal spirit that helps us and guides us. And so the other pastor says, well, let's test it. And the moment he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's a believer, and it only occurs with believers exercising the authority. A non-believer cannot use this authority. They don't have it. If they do, like the seven sons of Sheba in the book of Acts, they can be harmed. The demons know. That's one thing, Steve. They know the difference. So in application of the authority of Christ, like you mentioned, the Lord's Prayer, when I start with worship and pray in intercession, pray about my daily needs, confess any sin issues and forgive people and ask the Lord to keep me from any temptation and then deliver me from the evil one. Sometimes I just simply pray to clear the air around me. by just simply, you know, saying, first of all, the Holy Spirit's discernment. Lord, what's going on? Is there any curses and spells, satanic warfare? And here's the other side, Steve. Most Christians have no clue. There may be up to 100,000 covens in the United States. The covens know deep, what they call blitzkrieg or lightning warfare, spiritual warfare against churches. They're conjuring spirits, not just for their own orgies, but to send them against pastors, against... We have so much material on that issue. We've engaged that again and again. There's new levels of warfare. All the warfare is ramped up. Even when it comes to New Agers, the spirits they've acquired, they can say, oh, it's a peaceful, translucent spirit. Guess what? If we would come in the name of the real living Christ and say, we're going to test this and watch what happens. We've seen these spirits turn on them, throw them to the ground. Literally uncanny. I mean, just an uncanny movement of throwing them to the ground, like in Scripture, and then saying, stop it. Once they've opened the door to what they think is translucent spirit, ancestral spirits, spiritual higher consciousness, any grab, here's what we found. They can't, on their own, get away from it.
Right. That's so critical. And would you just reiterate this point, too, that there are people out there that think somehow, on their own, they can just intellectually take back the spiritual ground they've given. I tell people, you can't argue with demons. You don't basically win existential debates. You cast them out in Jesus' name.
Exactly. I mean, and they will argue with you. There's times that they'll mock and state and try to do things. And in some of what we call the super soldiers, what we mentioned in the last show, the concept of splitting personality, demonizing sub-personalities, and I found that in that, very powerful spirits, and in priests or priestesses of underground brotherhood, and the real Luciferians really do worship Satan, but not as a bad being. They worship him as the master light bearer, so forth. And their experiences are real. Their powers are real. And when they've come into engagement with us, the reason they're so boastful and arrogant about their powers, they've never been challenged. They've never had another power. And this is why we've seen a lot of conversions in this. When we engage their power demons, and literally the demons were whittled down into fear and trembling and wanted to get out of there, when real occultists have seen this in their spiritual encounter of being, and these demons have been, forced to show what they really are, and then cast out by, and I've said to them before, I said, look at me, I'm just a human being that knows Jesus. But didn't we have the authority given to us by Jesus to command your power demon, get out, and it left?
How many times, Russ, let me ask you this question. How many times over the years when you've been actively under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, ministering deliverance, have the Spirit said to you, we won't leave because the person wants us here?
Many times. You're right, many times.
Because, again, that's one of the most, and that's so critical because, again, I mean, the religious spirit. I'm talking about a true, identifiable, demonic personality. I'm talking about people that think somehow they've just got an issue when the issue is supernatural. How do you reconcile the scripture, since we talk a lot about the Antichrist and have in the three interviews we've done, where in the book of Daniel it's given power to make war on the saints, because it some people say to me, and I don't know that I have the best answer, that how can that be if Jesus said he gives you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy and nothing shall by any means hurt you? How do those two scriptures reconcile? It's a big question mark in a lot of people's minds.
Right. And here's two things. We under spiritual authority that we have only affects the demonic. If it's just some guy on the street that wants to come over and beat me up or slap me for being a Christian, if I say the Lord rebuke you, that doesn't affect them. So there is persecution against believers, and when he does make war on the saints and begins to conquer them, we're talking about sheer volume. We're talking about, again, that is in the day in which the apex of satanic power in the atmosphere around, ground level manifestation in people, let alone in the Antichrist, the false prophet himself. We're talking about, there will be never a time in human history where more demonic presence is shown. So, first, the power is overwhelming, and as is right now, most Christians don't even know how to respond. Christians come in defeated, so I believe that the concept of defeat is on the basis of two things. Because many don't know how to take their stand. Israel got defeated a number of times. When they had sin in their camp, when they wouldn't be in obedience to God. And so there is going to be, on a political and national and cultural, you know, he's going to win for a small season when he makes war to take the globe per se. We will be in the minority. We will be out of the power structures. But will we have the ability that if a demonized man comes to the house and wants to do something, to speak and command the demonic side? Yeah, we've had a physical attack come inspired by demonic presence that when we commanded, stop it, and commanded and focused on the demonic presence, the person literally froze. I mean, froze in their steps. And when we commanded the spirit out, we've watched again individuals fall to the ground, say, what happened to me? I've never seen anything like this. And we've said, listen, you've been encountered by the power of the living Christ. You need to either turn to Jesus right now and let the Spirit of God come into your life and give your heart to Him, or everything's going to come back worse, and you're going to lose your soul. You're going to hell, man. It's over.
Right.
And I will say, in most cases, people turn to Jesus. In some cases, like you've, there's people, I'm telling you right now, that even when it comes to these, what are called multiples or chosen ones or super soldiers, some that we engaged don't want to give up their powers, don't want to give up their belief that they're going to be elitist troops, that they're going to serve the Antichrist. They don't want to give up believing that Lucifer will win. And they've chosen to stay there. Now, they will get away from us because they don't want to be engaging us on a power encounter level. If they can go to churches and infiltrate, they understand which churches are able to be infiltrated and dealt with and fought against, and which ones they want to avoid.
Can I ask you a question? Because, again, based on, here's the deal. You know, the old adage, and boy, I don't know how to approach this just to come right out and say it, but there are so many people I see that claim to be believers that everything in their life indicates to me control by a supernatural entity. And the whole thing about possession versus influence, et cetera, et cetera. I left the Assembly of God Church over that issue, Russ, because I saw a man set free from the spirit of, everything that you can imagine. And he was walking free for 2 years. The bottom line is, a pastor, ignorant pastor, told him Christians can't be under demonic influence. He went up and blew his brains out in front of a 10-year-old child with him in the car.
Yeah.
Now, look, here's the deal. We are in the end times, and I absolutely refuse to coddle anybody any longer, okay? I need to learn a little bit more patience and grace. But the point is that we've got the demons destroying, deceiving, absolutely seducing spirits, the body of Christ at large. And meanwhile, people that know absolutely nothing about the Word of God claim to be a Christian, yet there is no fruit in their life. And when I bring up the idea that they need deliverance, well, somehow I'm unkind or unloving.
Right.
How
well, you're correct to be outraged about the pastor, because we've heard the same thing. Oh, the demons can't get to us, you know, whatever. They're living in a shell, and again, in that bubble of, and they're not preaching the whole counsel.
Right.
What does Ephesians 4 tell us? It tells believers, the Spirit of God says, and, you know, and don't let the sun go down in your anger, and give the devil a topon, a legal right.
Right.
Because when a real believer, I don't believe a real believer can be spirit, soul, and body possessed, but I do believe, and I've seen it again and again, and half the people that have come to our offices or that we've been called out to are believers, including pastors.
Yep.
There is oppression. It doesn't make any difference who you, you know, your title means nothing. It's all about the laws of engagement. If a real believer, every believer goes through oppression and attack. Those are two levels. Oppression and attack, Ephesians 6, that's every believer is going to go through that. But then Ephesians 4, if a real believer gives room, gives legal ground, we call that an attachment, to where it seems like the Spirit really has a control of an area of their life. The Spirit of God is grieved and things are happening, and yes, they need, and many times they come and they don't know what to do. They could have repented of the stupid sin and then rebuked the demonic off of them, and we've seen that happen and then break free, but most don't know what to do. They're so out of whack spiritually that they've grieved the Spirit of God, they're weakened, they're defeated, and there's this attachment. So what we do in our approach is leading them, well, we can pray right then, and we've done this, Steve. We prayed the demonic presence, get out, get off of them, quit hanging on to an area of their life. So, okay, there's a backing away. If the person, though, isn't led to repent of what they did to open the door, they can go right out the door of the physical door of the room and have the reattachment occur.
Right.
And there's a lot of believers that have that level, that attachment level, you know. And we've got to understand as churches, you know, I've been a pastor. Listen, you've got core believers that are on fire, that love the Lord, servants, so forth. You've got believers that are weaker and younger. You've got brand new believers. You've got people who are visiting that are religious, people, you know, that are not believers in a building. So we got to understand the mix of the crowd on a Sunday morning, especially the church. I go to a church that there's 1,800 people in the service, and there's no question not everybody there is saved. There's no question that there are many new believers, weak believers, and there are strong believers, but there are believers there that have secretly given in things, or, and here's the other side, where occultists or real Satanists have conjured, you know, demonic presence to curse or put a spell or send, literally what it comes down to, sending demons against a pastor, a leader, a church, and confusion sets in, weirdness sets in, division sets in, nobody knows what's going on, it seems like it's person against person, but it's all a spiritual, purposed war by occultists who have slipped in. And that's part of that 4 million I talked about last week, of those chosen ones, satanically chosen ones, have been trained to infiltrate and bring warfare into the church subversively. And without Holy Spirit discernment and then knowing, hey, we're supposed to be alert in the first place. That we should be able to have the Spirit of God. Do we look around to our right? We know that something here is wrong, and then we say, "In the name of Jesus, we command exposure of this." And all I can say is, in the church that I was at, the last church, we did that kind of thing, and we had full blown manifestation occur right in the worship service on Sunday morning. And I mean, talking full blown voice, full one time, full blown. They brought this woman from another church, brought her to our church. We're already started in our church. We just went through the prayer time where we did intercession and prayer and even warfare prayer, and then this weird noise starts in the church. I look up. Here's a woman standing in the middle of the aisle, a spirit speaking through her, challenging the church, saying, "You will not touch her. We have had her too long." Everybody there, it's like if it could have been visible, it's like their hair stood up on their... I mean... Everybody knew what presence that was. That was not a human being. Full-blown manifestation. I walked down the aisle. Everybody else turned, and the church there was pretty well trained. Nobody ran out screaming or crying or afraid. As I got close to this woman, probably 25-year-old woman, first they just literally leaped out at me, the spirit, you know, through this person's body, trying to literally shove me down. When we said, "In the name of Jesus, stop this," Steve, you should have heard the scream. This whole crowd watched as this individual went supernaturally down to the ground and began to writhe around, and the voices began to yell, and we commanded them to stop it. And it turned into a battle in which everybody there began to pray. Everybody began to worship, you know, and the praise team began to sing praises. And so this demonic presence was trampled, decimated, but because they brought it to a, you know, this individual to a different church that, that would not even touch, demons can't touch, you know, all that kind of junk theology, they had to bring them over here. And
right.
It wouldn't have to happen if we were discipled correctly and, again, following what Jesus did and said and appropriating it and putting into action. The church could be very fierce.
Russ, let me ask you about, because I'm getting a lot of questions about this, about remote viewing familiar spirits, because remote viewing is a big deal now, okay?
Sure.
And for the record, I believe it's real. Obviously, I know it's real. The how many people have you had to set free of remote viewing? Because, again, and slash, in your mind, is remote viewing separate and distinct from astral projection, or are they one and the same?
Well, they're different in application.
Okay.
But when it comes to source, and, for example, astral projection, like usually Luciferian Brotherhooders, they believe without question, just like Paul or John or Ezekiel, by the Holy Spirit, they were lifted up out of their body. Well, we, as in our human construct, we have capacities. The Spirit of God can, if God so chose, lift us up out and do like he did with Paul or with John, but that's the Holy Spirit. The counterfeit to that is astral projection, when spirits energize and help lift up out or project the human spirit outwardly. And what we've learned is that when we pray against the demonic that's attached or possessing them and enabling them to do that, they've all said before, it's like they, like a rubber band, they snap back into their body and they can't do it again if that demonic presence is cast off. Now, when it comes to remote viewing, here's the deception. And I want you to know, Steve, I know there's probably going to be, and I believe providentially going to be remote viewers, second generation remote viewer trainees that are going to be listening to this. Because I got emails from the last time we touched on the subject barely. Number one, for 3.5 to 4 years, I've been praying for all of the major remote viewer authors. I can list all the names, all of them. One of them, a underground Fort Bragg psychic warrior, gave me his number. I called, talked to his daughter. She gave me his number in California. I talked to him direct. I have a great, great concern for all of them. I love them, but I'm going to say very clearly, there is a vast, vast deception here. What's happening is human capacities that we have and are created with, the Greek word psuche, the psuche side of us, we have the capacity to perceive, to feel, to discern, only so far, though, because we're human.
Hey, Russ, let me just tell you something. From the time you said that, I just got hit with a power surge in my house. It took my computer down. I'm on a satellite uplink. I've been off the air for the last 2 minutes, but when you said that word, everything in my house shut down. I have auxiliary power, and everything went dead. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you, did you hear the clicking off and everything in the background?
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, the last 2 minutes, probably 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and Steve Melchin can verify, I've been off my data link. It was amazing. So, the prince and powers of the air, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke you and take dominion over you. This is not child's play. This is not ghost stories. This is not entertainment. This is the real stuff. So I apologize. I didn't get to hear what you said. You don't have to repeat it. But again, the thing is, remote viewing is captivating a lot of people. So take it from there.
Sure. And there's and what's happening is that instead of possession, what's happening is the same thing like with Edgar Cayce. People need to understand what they call the Akashic Records. My old master taught me was the universal. This energy field around the planet, this energy field that is packed with spiritual beings that have knowledge, ancient knowledge, the Hall of Records. So when I go to SciTech or other, you know, places on the web even and deal with dames and whatever, and I see them say this. They say, you know what, this is all human. It's all a human thing. Even Edgar Mitchell in Roswell a few years back, I listened to him direct. It's all a human thing. And I say, wait a minute. You're right in a sense on a certain level is human. But then you read later where they talk about the psychic, your psychic apparatus. You have to download, like to remote view, you know, thousands of miles away. As you get into that process, bottom line is this. You don't actually go to the place. What happens is, in your subconscious, is opened up to this, they want to call it the collective unconscious, you know, by Carl Jung, which means the Akashic records. So what they're saying is, this presence, this field that encircles the globe, then literally connects them to the object they're targeting to remote. And that they're seeing it, they can do the past, they can do the future, they can do an object, they can do Russia, they can do a person, they can do a house. Remote viewers have, you know, contacted me and said, well, we remote viewed your house, we remote viewed you, this is, and they gave me content information. Here's what I found experientially. They're getting their information from the exact same source, ultimately, that Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, Edgar Cayce, that all of them got. The accuracy can be from 15% accurate to 50, which demonstrates, again, it does not come from the Spirit of God. Here's our problem. Remote viewers that I've dealt with lately, some of which have cussed me out to no end, threatened my life, told me never to get on a plane, that when they meet me, they're going to, you know, basically rip me apart, because I challenge them spiritually to disconnect from the Akashic records. That coming down from that field is the spirit who's operative in the air around us, that atmosphere around us. And though they're not being possessed, when I watched, for example, Joni Dura, when she was doing one of her remote views, what happens is images, phrases, pictures come into your subconscious that you're able to write on paper or begin to show or say what you're remote viewing. Where is that coming from? It's not just human. It's coming from outside source that is not just a higher field of energy. There is a presence there that is guiding. Here's what I found in every single remote viewer that I've read or met or dealt with. Not one is a born-again believer in Jesus who has the Spirit of God. Not one yet. Now, there might be somebody that says, well, I am, they call me or whatever. Not one confesses, and all the book authors, not one confesses that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. I'm saying that the same sources, that they're tapping into a source that is misleading them in such a angel of light way, that some of them are so convinced, they even said, the information we get from the Akashic records and download in our remote viewing of God, of Christ, of the Bible, is the information we're getting is infallible and superior to the Scripture. And the information they're getting from the Akashic records are telling them Jesus was a good teacher, Jesus was a good ascended master. So what does that tell you about the source? And they seem to have an aversion to the presence of the Spirit of God and the truth of Jesus, the real Christ.
Even to the point they cannot, I mean, I know you've probably heard that, but in times of encountering the demonic, you've probably heard the whimpering ones, I hate that name, I hate that name.
Exactly.
And my answer to that is always a scripture. I think that's critical for people to understand. They defeat in every area of their lives the enemy by quoting scripture. That's how Jesus came against the devil. That's how we're to come against the devil, by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and loving not our life unto death. And the thing is that this is something why it's so important to know the scripture and know the authority, because God's word does not return void. You know, I remember when first thrown into the realm of deliverance, it's absolutely imperative that you understand that greater is He that's in you than is who's in the world. It helped me to realize that He who's in me is spoke the world into existence. He who's in the world is trying to basically destroy that world, but he does not have the ability. You know?
Exactly. Sure. And Steve, I'm very sure you're going to probably get some. I really believe providentially you'll probably get some encounters on this issue brought up, because I've likened it to this. If I was to take you and blindfold you in a room, and you know, and then all of a sudden you have a pad and a paper in front of you and a pencil, and I stand behind you. You're blindfolded, but I stand behind you, and I'm 10 feet away, and I whisper out enough for you to hear. Table. Four legs. Candle. And I throw those things, you know, out to where you're getting them, you're hearing, you're receiving them, and you begin to draw a picture of a table, a candle, and so forth. That's the concept. They're not just getting information and data. The information and data is coming from senders. And those senders aren't friendly.
Absolutely. I call them death whispers.
Sure.
Because, and that's the thing to think. See, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just give a 30-second. What Russ is teaching you tonight, please replay this. Please replay this. The authority that you have as a believer is where the living God has given it to you. He's given you to everything that pertains unto life and godliness. But, you know, Russ, people blow it by asking other people who are more ignorant than they are what they think. I say, don't ask anybody what they think. Go to Jesus. Because again, you know, so many people think that somehow, you know, if their pals agree with them, then they gotta be right. Well, their pals can be equally, wrong as they are. What I'm saying is groupthink does not work in deliverance. The power of the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Now, let me ask you this too. You know, let's use Ed Dames. I think, I don't listen to him on Coast to Coast or anything, but, you know, how many times people are sending me emails, how many times do you encounter Satan himself or do you only encounter the demons? They're asking the differentiation between demons, fallen angels, and the enemy himself.
Because some of them will say that, you know, that they're meeting angelic presence. One book author, when I bought his book that morning, a new guy introduced me to a CIA guy that he just met at the bookstore. We began to talk. I read this book in one day, gave it to my staff members to say, read this and tell me what you think. I want to hear what you have to say. Because in the book, there's an encounter while he's out in the ether, where he calls it an angel. As he gives the story about the angel, every one of us said, no, not an angel of God.
Right.
This was a demonic entity.
Yep. Oh, man, thank you for sharing that. I know a gentleman that claims to have had an encounter with an angel, but it wasn't a godly angel. It was an, you know, angel of light. Here's the thing, too. The caricatures of Hollywood portraying the devil as the Underwood deviled ham or any of the horror movies, which, by the way, I don't watch anything that the devil is portrayed in, you know, Halloween or whatever the movies are out there. But what I'm trying to say is that isn't it interesting how the most heinous creature, who was the most beautiful, leading the worship of God in music. And the thing is that more people I've encountered, and I came out of the Jesus movement in the late 60s, early 70s, 72 is when I got saved. But the thing is that I can't tell you how many people, including my own brother, who is murdered, by the way. He got set free of the demons, but, he was later murdered. The thing is that he came to know Jesus, praise the Lord. But I remember when the demons were cast out of him, Russ, it was amazing because the thing said, my name is Drovald. I am a prince of hell, and I've been sent to keep him out of the way. With that, every blood vessel in his face and in his eyes and everything broke. So, you know, I've seen it, but the guttural, the voice was so subhuman, not human, but it was interesting. I entered him through the music he listened to. How many times have you heard that?
Well, I have heard it many times, and I've had law enforcement agents have me at a big concert here locally to engage Marilyn Manson, Slayer, other people, Danzig, Peter Steele from Type O Negative. It's like these officers always wanted me to have this big encounter with them. The worst of it all, though, was Marilyn Manson because literally the presence within him threw him to the floor when they brought him off stage. Before I could even do anything, 10 feet away from him, the officers and his people dragged him off back into the back room somewhere, fully twice on the stage. And one of the other officers come running to me and grabbed me. I'm watching as 5,000 kids are packed in. Literally, he leaves. The spirit took over. His arms were up in the air with one leg in the air as if he was hovering. I'm telling you, the presence, the demonic presence was looking through him at the crowd in an absolute arrogant glee that they that it had their attention. And again, in me, that just sends up the spiritual fur on my side to come against it, because they're lethal, Steve. They're not going to change. They're eternal in their nature. They're at war with God. They will use humanity and lead humanity to slaughter. Look how they led Manasseh in Jerusalem to slay his own son. That's how far it can go when we listen to them. And that's how far it's going to go as we approach the very end of days.
Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Absolutely, Russ, my prayer, and will be, is that literally the Lord will hover or brood over the face of the deepest hearts listening to our show tonight and literally bring understanding, revelation. I'm getting some emails that are kind of interesting. One of them I want you to listen to, because this is cool. This is from Arthur. I'll just say that. But he said this. He said, "Steve, I have finally got the anxiety beat. I've been a believer, but I have a better understanding of the power given to us to command demonic spirits and entities to leave. I felt better before when I would pray and anoint, but the anxiety came back. I know it will not this time. I feel infused with the Spirit of God like never before." That's when you know that faith is taking hold.
Sure. And see, as he starts now, don't back off. That's what I found out even in deliverance cases. Even when the demons want to fight and stay there for a while or call on other demons, never back down. No matter what occurs, never back down, never quit. You know, continue to unleash authority. Whether it's in your room, you feel something's in your house, something's constantly coming back to attack, whether it's familiar spirits from your family line that somewhere a grandfather opened a door or whatever, and they don't have really rights to you so much as they just want to say, "Hey, we want you because your grandfather opened the door." You know, a believer just simply gets that, it's good just to say, "You know what? I renounce any doorway my family line has ever opened up, and any spirit that thinks they have a right over me, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, command you, get out of here, don't come back." And we've got to, when we command them, it's about ordering them with the authority of Christ. If you don't want them to come back, tell them, "Don't come back." Along with that, I ask the Lord Jesus, attack the demonic realm, Lord, that's attacking me. Because 1 John 3:8 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work.
Right, and
destroy them.
Yep, and that's critical. That is so critical, because most people say, well, to seek that which was lost. That's not
right.
True. But to destroy the works of the devil. I don't believe that people understand that both sides are in the ultimate eternal battle. You started the show out with that. It is a battlefield. Since when does the entire Word of God present that battlefield that everybody wants to go to the Rick Warren heresy of the, whatever it's called, purpose-driven church, Yeah, the purpose that's driving the church right now is self-destruction, suicide,
yep.
In my opinion.
Well, I agree. There's so much that has infiltrated, and we've been, instead of, again, living in the integrity of Christ, the love of God, the power of God, look at the early church, how powerful it was. And, because they knew what Jesus was, they knew who he was and lived, what he lived out. They were clothed with power. They knew the authority. They knew that they needed to be in mission. And I would say, anybody reading the book of Acts, if we live in the mission of God, in his power and in his way, not make up our own along the way, not water it down, then we can assume the same backing, the same presence, the same power, since Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Steve, I just got an email in here, which I'm not really looking at too many of them, but I just got one in because I noticed who it was. They're claiming that what just occurred at your house, because this is what happened. There's a few folks that have been doing psi powers. Here's what it says. Your last, referring to me, they always call me Dizdar. Your last show was not on remote viewing. It was not attacked. Now you are back on that topic. Notice the pattern, Dizdar. Therefore, the obvious thing is they've attacked whatever it was to try to shut you down for a couple minutes.
Right. Well, and again, in the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke them. No offense, I live in that world, and by the way, I want you to answer one question, you don't mind, because I know that it was a question that Hawk, my guest host, he said, ask Russ specifically about the man who came forward to him from the NSA who was trained to communicate with space aliens or entities from other dimensions. Is this not just high-tech spiritism?
Well, it really is. And again, here's that concept of technology. Now, here's what Dan Sherman, his name's Dan Sherman, he's written a book called Project Preserve Destiny. He claims to be an intuitive. I believe he's got some, if you look at some of the YouTube videos of him, but his book, he describes a machinery in the NSA that they had some kind of equipment that was, whether they, you know, I forget whether they were guided in developing it or that they had it, but that he was like connected to, whether there was some kind of mind brain stuff, whatever it was, he was to be there connected to this machinery that made, that heightened his awareness so he could receive communication from what he said was extra dimensional entities or maybe like aliens giving new information for them to have, you know, sharing information. He says that he was not allowed to question them. He was not allowed to have a critical spirit or a questioning spirit. He wasn't allowed to talk back to them. He can only be a receptacle to receive the information and instruction and then give it to the higher-ups in the NSA. That's the claim, anyway.
Well, so in essence, he was just a conduit for whatever.
Exactly. You're right. And that's true. Whether it's getting into a pyramid, I believe too that there are things like the pyramid. I believe these are, there's a thing called astroarchaeology. I think there's a concept that even in, well, we know how the temple, the Old Testament, designed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them craftsmanship, and they built which would be types and shadows of the things to come, but nevertheless, God's Shekinah glory came into it. And there was a sense of God's presence in that structure that God designed. Well, counterfeit to that, pyramids, other structures, other things can be developed. That's what a ritual is anyway. In ancient, you know, rituals by, you know, with human skin as the backing to these old books are used. Where did they get these rituals where they draw all these things and use ancient languages, conjure powerful demons? They got the ritual information from the demonic in the first place to say, here's what you do to get us to come through. A sigil, a symbol, a ritual, you know, that is drawn, how it is spoken. The same thing can be true in objects. I believe objects can be, well, they'll call it charged, meaning demonically attached to. And if that object then, like in the Old Testament, a devoted thing, if it's brought into your camp, that toxic presence can then affect those around it. Missionaries that go over and pick up little idols that have demonic presence that's devoted to a demon god, they bring it into their house. No wonder they have sicknesses, weirdness, things going on, till they realize something is on this object.
You know, I can tell you a story. A girl named Vivica, who's a missionary, did the same thing you're talking about. She was so oppressed until the idol was thrown into the fire. It screamed, and at that point, we were able to command the demons out of her in Jesus' name.
Absolutely.
Same thing with a shirt-tail relative of mine. I think I've mentioned her. She was given a hexed ring. Everything in the world would try and keep that ring on her finger. She could not get delivered until we took the ring off through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of Knowledge, and she got delivered. That was the one that threw off four really big guys, Russ. And a little Hispanic preacher was able just to basically speak the word of Jesus, and they left. Listen, we're out of time. Russ, God bless you. You will have this. I'll have Steve email you the MP3 for your website. Ladies and gentlemen, again, Russ and I will do, if he's willing, we'll do some shows together. They'll be posted as a podcast on Concord Bridge Info at a later date. But tonight, Russ, I got to thank you. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you.
You've really helped a lot of people. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.